Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to have you with us today. We're so glad. It's March 24th, 2020. I want to say happy birthday to my mother, Anne, who passed away many years ago, but I just remembering my mom today on the 24th day of March, and wish she was here and I could say happy birthday to her and give her a beautiful gift and all of that good stuff. I don't know if you've ever lost a loved one. I personally have lost my father, my mother, my sister, uncles, aunts, cousins. It's been quite a journey for our family bloodline. However, I believe the day will come when we will be reunited in heaven. I believe with all of my heart that there will be a gathering together because each one has accepted Christ into their hearts. My dad at the last minute of his life, praise God. You know, he just didn't want to play religion, and I think he got it in the last year of his life. And he was in the Marine Corps, and he was a pretty tough guy from Jersey City, New Jersey. And but in the last moments of his life, in that final year, he did accept Christ, and he was reading his Bible, and transformation was going on. So I'm very happy to know that I will meet my father, my mother, my sister, my relatives. In that glorious place called heaven, whether it's paradise, whatever it is that God has planned for those who love him, we're excited about it. So good morning to all of you on Facebook, on YouTube. Welcome to the broadcast. We are broadcasting live. And I've got a number of things I want to share with you today. Obviously, the markets are crazy, aren't they? I mean, right now, gold, you know, for those of you that invest in gold or silver, do you know gold went up over $100? Over $100, it bounced. It went all the way down to 1475, I think, last week. Yeah, and yesterday it was in the low 15s or whatever it was, and all of a sudden it bounced to $1,675 an ounce. So I don't know if you're interested in that kind of stuff or not, but that's pretty cool. And good morning to Sharon Evans. Good morning, Sharon. God bless you. Welcome to our YouTube video live. God bless you. And man, just the markets are crazy. It's all green today. And you wonder, well, what stimulated that? Was it the president yesterday saying to the country, America was not built to shut down? You know, I love our president. I really do. And I'm thankful that he was a duly elected president, and he won the election, and he's been in a battle for the last 3.5 years. To that, there's no doubt. And we'll see where things go. But I'm one of those individuals that if I were on that phone call with the 700 pastors that he contacted the other day, and they're all very inspirational, very powerful, I'm sure very anointed in so many different ways, we just have a difference of opinion. And maybe it's beyond opinion. Maybe it's just a knowledge we all have. I mean, there's no doubt that God is good, that he's going to do great things. And in the midst of the storm, he is right there performing his miracle in the lives of those who trust him. And he's showing his power to as many that will, you know, look at him and look to him. I believe, however, that we are in a crisis that is not going to be turned away. And that's unfortunate because it almost sounds like we're giving Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the left and the globalists, you know, like somehow they're prevailing. I don't believe that at all. I believe everything is playing out according to the word of God. Everything that's written in this book called the Bible is being played out. And whether God uses the left or the right, whether it's a globalist, whether it's the Caesar of Rome, like we said yesterday, God used the Caesar of Rome to call forth a worldwide taxation just to make sure Joseph and Mary would be down in Bethlehem at the exact time the star was lining up to bring forth the man-child, Jesus Christ. So God could use good government, bad government. God could use everything he wants to. He could use Cyrus. He could use Nebuchadnezzar. He could use the Assyrians. God can use anything to bring his word to pass. And we're watching right now this struggle. And the good guys are saying, you know, this is going to be the best time of our lives. This is all great. And the bad guys like Chuck Schumer are calling for retribution against Kavanaugh, right? Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, two elected Supreme Court officials because they're threatening to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so a couple of weeks ago, Chuck Schumer, he calls for, you don't know, you won't know what hit you. He threatened them is what he did. And he said they were calling for the whirlwind. And so you have, you know, in these highest echelons of political power, a struggle going on. There's a struggle going on in the church. There's a struggle maybe going on in your family, maybe in your own heart. There's a struggle going on. And that's the times we're in. But when I step back, and I leave behind all of that political debating, infighting, all the struggle going on in the world, even in my own heart, if I just step away from it and I go back to God's word, I'm hearing a message. And the message that we've been hearing is manifesting. What we're in right now is a portion of a manifestation of what God has been saying, what we have been hearing for a very long time, hearing and sharing. Okay, so what have we heard? Well, this morning I woke up hearing the sound of a locomotive, a real locomotive. Have you ever heard the sound of a rushing locomotive? I mean, one that is at high speed and it's coming down the tracks and you could hear the whistle blowing and it's a locomotive. Now, if you're in the sleepy little town, I mean, right here in Decatur, Arkansas, for example, from where we live, we could hear the trains when they're approaching the little town of Decatur. I mean, you could hear the whistle, you could hear the whole thing. It's pretty awesome. And we're 3 miles away from that train track that those trains go on, and they're not locomotives. So, you know, the sleepy little town that hears the thunder and the rumble and the whistle blowing of that massive locomotive that's coming in its direction, you need to be aware. And so in symbology, if you will, there is a locomotive, freight train, call it whatever you will, a massive moment, something massive that is moving at high speed coming in our direction. Now, what I see the president wanting to do and what I see everybody wants this locomotive because it represents disaster. It represents disaster, and it really does. And that's what people are panicking and fearing and all of that. And so what we want to do is we want to put that off. We want to derail that locomotive. We want to change the direction of the locomotive. We want to send it in another direction. And the people that are hearing the sound, you know, they're standing there, maybe like a deer in headlights or whatever, and they really don't know what to do. It's coming so fast, and they're looking for someone to tell them what to do. Well, I believe the best thing to do is get out of the way, because I don't believe it's going to be derailed, and I don't believe it's going to be brought in another direction. I believe that we have entered into something that is going to be increasingly momentous in fulfilling God's word. So, I mean, we've said this so many times, but I also hear another sound. So I hear a sound of a locomotive coming, and I also hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. I hear the sound of chariots and the wings of the chariots and the atmosphere being changed and transformed, and the saints of God who are tuned in are hearing the sound of another transportation unit, if you will. And these are the chariots of Elijah that came and picked him up and took him away. Well, I do believe there's a train that's coming, and it's going to take as many passengers as will. And this train is bringing a people into the wilderness. And I believe that God has a prepared place in the wilderness to nourish and to take care of those who arrive. One train is going in the direction of disaster. God's train is coming in the direction of provision, protection. And I think about these two thoughts, and what train will you be on? And I could hear the train conductor saying, all aboard, all aboard. So this is what's happening. And the scripture, the way I reference this is by reading the Bible. And when I read the Bible in Isaiah 47:11, what I hear is God saying, and President Trump keeps saying it over and over and over. He was just on a call with 700 pastors, and he kept saying it over and over, and I could actually read it to you, where he said, we were doing great. Everything was wonderful. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, this thing came. He keeps repeating that, and what he's doing is repeating the prophecy in Isaiah 47:11 that was read the day before the coronavirus situation showed up in America, where we became a concerned people about it. All right, so before all this this action began to take place, God was telling us in Isaiah 47:11 that an evil is coming from where you do not know. It's coming like a freight train, like a locomotive. It's coming, but you don't know where it's coming from. You will not be able to put it off. That was the second part of Isaiah 47:11, and that it will bring disaster. It'll bring destruction. And it was so emphatic. It was so absolute. Now, I know prayer changes things. And I do know that a praying nation confessing their sins could turn anything back. I mean, God has done that before. And yet it seems to be like a line drawn. It just seems to be like something that I've given you opportunity. I've given you a chance to repent. I've given you a chance to turn. But your whole mindset is on your economy. Your whole thinking mechanism about the markets and jobs. But you see, that's not what our country is about. That's not what God primarily is after in a nation. What God is primarily after in a nation is repentance, humility, confession, brokenness, worship, praise, giving him honor and glory because he deserves it. And then out from that condition of heart, let the blessings of God fall upon the nation. But when we are thinking primarily about our economy, when we are thinking primarily about jobs, when we are thinking primarily about other things, I don't see this locomotive being turned away. It's coming, and it's going to bring a disaster, and you won't be able to put it off. And right now, our president, in goodwill, is trying to put this off. And I would like to say to the president of the United States, I totally understand. I totally understand. They're probably trying to set you up. They're probably trying to bring you down. There's political issues everywhere. But I would say, Mr. President, it's deeper than that. This, what is happening, has been ordained by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. God said that something would come out of nowhere. And that's what you keep saying. It came out of nowhere. You're literally speaking into the prophecy. And sir, you need to understand that it's a time of accountability for our nation. And it is a time when God's prophetic word is going to be fulfilled. And you need to recognize that you're at the helm right now to guide this nation through the storm. If you truly have the mind of Christ, you need to understand your Euroclodon is coming upon our nation. You really do need to understand. It's not about you failing. It's not about them winning. It's about God's timing for prophecy to be fulfilled. And we are living in the last days, in the end of time, and the signs of those times are everywhere, sir, everywhere. And so you need to begin to conduct things and move things and view things from the perspective of what God said would be. You are fulfilling, you are speaking out of your mouth the prophecy of Isaiah 47:11. And eventually what's going to happen when this thing comes, because it's not just coronavirus, it is what's ready to happen. It's the next wave of violence and terrorism and explosion within our nation. It's the wave of famine and hunger because food shortages and food prices are going to exponentially rise. It's the next wave of understanding that right now you couldn't even get masks. You're having a big problem getting masks. Well, eventually food production is going to slow down. People won't be able to bring the food in the trucks. Something's going to shut down travel in the country. And food supplies are going to be limited at best. And Mr. President, you need to understand that these things have been foretold in the scriptures. Not only pestilence and not only famine, but the wild beast of terrorism are going to be released in the city streets of America and around the world. Even today in Greece, coming from the northern border of Turkey, there's an invasion. Greece is literally being taken over. Athens, Greece, they're seeing symbols everywhere of Islam. Isn't it interesting that there's been so much quiet about the wild man? Ishmael is the wild man. He's the wild ass of a man. He's the beast of a man in Hosea. He's a wild beast. He is referred to in scripture. And when the wild beasts take your children, we're talking about terrorism. We're talking about violence. We're talking about Hamas. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, where it says violence covered the earth, that Hebrew word is Hamas. We have terror organizations today called Hamas. We have all kinds of things. And it's the chessboard. It's the moving. And so we're not just dealing with coronavirus. All kinds of things are going to manifest, sir, and you need to understand. And then the fourth wave that is spoken of in scripture that I believe is going to bring the knockout punch is Amos chapter 8, where God says he's going to darken the earth in the clear day. To me, that speaks of an electromagnetic pulse, or a coronal mass ejection, or somebody flipping the switch and turning the electricity off. Because if you turn the electricity off in this country and other places around the world, if there's no running water, if you can't flush your toilet, if you don't have any lights and refrigeration, and you don't have hospital machinery working, all those ventilators that you need electricity for, if you don't have that throughout the nation, well, the experts in Congress and in Homeland Security have already warned us. They've already told us 30 million people will die. 30 million Americans will die when the lights go out. So rather than suggesting or trying to put this off, the prophecy said you won't be able to put it off, Mr. President. So rather than trying to put it off, prepare the nation. Not with go wash your hands and go into your house. That's not the necessary first thing to do. The call is to tell what is coming, to understand the spiritual, biblical, prophetic, and give God the glory in this. Don't put prophecy on the back shelf. Don't put spirituality on the back shelf. Don't put God on the back shelf. And then when we need him, we employ his graces. No, we have offended God. You need to understand that. We have shed the blood of 80 million babies in the womb in the United States, and we have assisted in over 500 million abortions around the world. We have promoted homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism. We have promoted pornography into every home across this nation. We have filled our television screens with blasphemy coming out of Hollywood. We have been idolatrous. We have been lewd. We have been licentious. We have been every manner of wickedness, and the supposed ecclesia church was living in the midst of it, not really shouting out against it, because we were getting in the lap of luxury, all the money, the limelight, the big platforms, but we lost our voice and we got into the confusion and we began to speak like Babylonians. And so we babbled all these seven steps to prosperity and how to become rich and how to become wealthy, how to tickle people's ears and scratch their backs and tell them smooth things. And the church became soothsayers. And there were very few that were reaching out and telling the truth about the times. You need to understand, Mr. President, that we have offended Almighty God. And you need to wake up to that reality. And the people surrounding you need to make you aware that your enchanters or your Congress or your people around you, your advisors, it says in Isaiah 47, 12, 13 to the end, that they're not going to be able to navigate for you. They're not going to have the wisdom for you. They're not going to be able to direct you out of this thing. I know that you're positive thinking and you're positive speaking. You'd like to speak things into existence. I get that. I understand your art of the deal. I get that. And I know that it's good to speak things into existence, especially if they line up with the word of God. But you're going to try to put things off right now, and it's not going to work. You cannot put this off. There are no more delays. And you need to understand that it's going to go from one level of crisis to another in this season. All you're looking at is Leviticus chapter 26, where God says from verse 14 to the very end, that he's going to come to correct a nation. And if we are not corrected, he'll bring seven times greater judgment, seven levels of judgment, seven times greater. And that's where we are right now. And now as we approach Passover, I believe the right thing to do for God's people all over the world, when it comes to Passover this year, that night you should enter into your house and you should shut the door and you should not move until the end of that day. I am not advocating what the government is advocating. I'm not telling people, because the wisdom sounds right, that they should lock themselves in their house and wash their hands. I don't believe that. You do what you need to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. So we're moving about. Our lives are not hindered because we are a kingdom people. We believe in the supernatural. We believe in God's protection, not haughtily, but humbly. We just believe that God is great. Now, yes, disaster is coming. That which has left the gate and is hurling down the tracks cannot be turned away. That's what Isaiah 47:11 said. And that was read the day before this all began in our nation. And Mr. President, honestly, if I had an opportunity to speak to you, I would say you really need to understand you have been called and chosen by God to navigate this nation through the storm that's coming. That you're going to be here and you're going to have to take the reins of power, because there will be martial law. With the terrorism that's about to strike, the explosions that are ready to go off, the food shortages are going to create crime, and people are going to start acting out like they did in Katrina. Many years ago, after the Katrina incident, a prophecy was written that in the last days, this country would look like Katrina times 1,000, that there would be over 1,000 cities experiencing what happened in New Orleans in the storm called Katrina. At that time, they were putting people in superdomes, but in the superdomes, there were roving gangs. They were raping the women. They were being shot from the marksmen at the top of the domes. Governors were putting, or not governors, but leaders of townships were putting tanks in front of their city gates to block the looters that were coming. It was a nightmare. And God said way back then that it would be like Katrina times 1,000, that people would be wandering from sea to shining sea looking for a piece of bread, that they were tattered and their clothes were ripped and they were dragging their children by their hands. They had nowhere to go. It's going in that direction. Now, to get everybody believing it's going to turn, the markets responded to that. Right now, the markets responded to America wasn't built to shut down. So it's all about the hope of starting it up again. I don't believe that's true. I believe God's word is true. And if it turns out that we're going to be back online, I want to ask you a question. Has the heart of the nation turned? Genuinely turned? Maybe some people in this country have humbled themselves. Maybe some sinners have accepted Christ. Thank God for the harvest. Maybe some church-going people have come to a conclusion they've been playing games with God. Maybe. And they've made a decision to go deeper in their walk with the Lord. Maybe. I'm not so sure. I do not have the confidence today to share over the airwaves with our listeners that it's all going to be all right now. The scriptures tell us again that when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. Now listen, that's what I'm hearing in my spirit. Maybe you're hearing something different. Maybe God has spoken to you, and I want to give you the opportunity today to share your thoughts. You see, I'll tell you what I see happening. In the midst of this, from neighborhoods around the world, hopefully, but neighborhoods and little congregations, you know what's happening? I see God's people pulling together. I see God gathering two here, three here, five over here. I see God bringing the heart of the true seekers together. They're enjoying fellowship with their neighbors they've never met before. They're enjoying a level of fellowship, and they're talking about God. They're not talking about the stuff we always used to talk about that was non-essential, that nobody really cared about. No, they're talking about, hey, what's going on? What's the biblical perspective? What's the Spirit of the Lord saying to you? How are you viewing this? How are you responding to this? How are you? Yeah, it's happening. Eric Briggs is on Facebook, and he says, is this the end? I'll tell you what it's the end of, Eric, in my belief. It's the end of a phase. I believe that God is setting things up to move in the direction of the book of Revelation. I shared with our listeners the other day, if you want to understand where we are right now, read Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. 6, 7, 8, 9, and you're going to see the unfolding of Bible prophecy. It's the end of something. It's the end of what we've ever known our nation to be. Back in 2003, when the Holy Spirit said, we've crossed the point of no return, and people laughed at that. Well, I've been looking since 2003, wondering if our nation ever returned to what we were before then. And what I realized, no, we didn't return. We got increasingly worse with passing laws in June of 2015, telling men to marry men and women to marry women. That was a blasphemous statement, with the White House being lit up with the rainbow colors. So I've been viewing, and we've never been before we were in 2003, before the 2001 event. I mean, we were a nation, but it changed, and it's been different, and it's about to undergo another transformation. And unfortunately, what happens within this nation, what happens in these other nations, is we're trying to put down one crisis, another will come, and another will come. The Bible talks about it in Ezekiel chapter 14, that God would send his four sore judgments. And he referred to that as pestilence, famine, wild beast, and war. All of that is in the book of Revelation, with the release of the four horses, of what we call the apocalypse, and going on down to chapter 7, 8, and 9. It's all there. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. So in a sense, Eric, yes, I believe the end of the way things have been is coming, and it's going to continually lead to what God said would be in the last days. Do I believe that we're heading for the Great Tribulation? Absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Do I believe that we're in the beginning of sorrows? Absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Too many signs are everywhere, and too many prophetic words that were given in the book of Daniel and other places in Scripture have been fulfilled before our very eyes. We are the generation that has witnessed the fig tree shooting forth her branches. We are that generation, and the Word of God says a generation is 70 years, and if by strength, 80. Israel, this May, will be 72 years old. We're there. We are there. We're in something deeper than we could imagine. I want to say good morning to my sister, Cindy. God bless you, Cindy. Great to have you with us on the air today on Facebook. So, again, the lines are open, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear your views. But before we get there, I have some things I want to share with you. I want to read to you some prophetic words, if that's okay, at least one. And this was titled, I Am. I Am. This is a prophetic word. I am, and there is no other. I am God, and before me there was none. Let the heathen rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing. But for you, my beloved, I say, arise and stand upon your feet, for I have determined to pour into your spirit the golden oil reserved for this day. Are you ready, true saint of God, for a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Because remember, as dark as the side of this day will be, the other side of the day is light. That's what Isaiah said. Behold, he says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you in the new covenant within you, God's glory. So he's saying to his people, stand on your feet, for I have determined to pour into your spirit the golden oil reserved for this day. You who know me and have become one with me, you shall eat of the fruit of the land. You shall eat of the good that has been stored away and hid before the foundations of the earth. Does God have a food supply for his people in the last days? Even when shortages and famine comes, you bet. He gave his people manna out of heaven. In the Bible that I read, God provided quail because the people were complaining. That wasn't a good meal, by the way. But he did give them manna from heaven. He did give them angels' food. He did give them water out of a rock in the wilderness. So does God have some provision lined up for these last days? Absolutely. You shall eat of the good that has been stored away and hid before the foundation of the earth. Yes, I have hidden manna for you, food to eat that the nations know nothing of. Didn't Jesus say that to the woman at the well? When the disciples came back and he said, Lord, Master, eat. And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Meat. I say this day to arise and eat. Partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, John chapter 6, has life in them. What you want in your spirit right now with that golden oil, that anointing for this hour, God's going to increase your light. He's going to increase the level of fruitfulness in your life. He's going to increase the ability to navigate the times we're in. Your light, like the wise virgins, is going to be a bright light, and you're going to be able to walk right through these dark days so that you can endure to the end. And you're going to have spiritual meat to eat. You're going to have food that God is going to give you and drink so that you, like Elijah, will be able to continue on in your journey. When God fed Elijah that meal, Elijah got up and ran on that one meal for 40 days. Well, we're in a better covenant with better promises, and what God has for you is going to give you an inward ability, a divine anointing and energy to get up and run your race and to win this thing. And that's where it's going right now. Yes, I have hidden manna for you, food to eat that the nations know nothing of. I say this day to arise and eat. Take your full, for the table has been set and the meal has been prepared. Arise and eat, even as Mephibosheth hid in a cave until my servant David came to bring him to his table. So many of my children have hid from me in the confines of fear and doubt. So I will tell you this day that I will send my servants, the prophets, and they shall speak a word in your ear, and you shall hear the word of faith and shall arise in the power and spirit of the resurrection. For indeed, this is the third day, a day that I have purposed from before the beginning of times to declare. I say this day as the day of resurrection, power, and life. You remember the story of Mephibosheth in the Bible? He was Saul's son, Jonathan's son. So this was Saul's grandson. And both Saul and Jonathan died. And when Jonathan died, remember, the nurse took Mephibosheth when he was like 5 years old. And she was terrified that David was going to kill him too. So they left. But when they left, his legs were broken. So he lived in this land, Lodabar. He lived in the place of separation, is what Lodabar means. He was outside communication, and he was hiding in this cave. This is the grandson of Saul, right? And this is Mephibosheth. He's hiding in this cave his whole life. David comes to the throne. He's now the king. Years pass. And now everything is right. And he asks his servants, is there anybody left in the house of Saul that I might show my kindness and favor to? And they search it out. And said, yeah, there's a Mephibosheth. And he says, go fetch him. So he sends out his servants. They go and they fetch Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth thought he's a dead dog. So he comes to the king's table thinking he was a dead dog. He says, what do you want with me, king? I'm a dead dog. I've been crippled my whole life since I was five. I've lived in fear my whole life. And now here I am, my greatest fear, you, king, are standing before me. What are you going to do? And David extends his kindness. And he says to Mephibosheth, from this day forward, you're going to sit at my table. You're going to eat my food with my sons. And I'm going to treat you like a son. And I'm going to gather all of your fathers, your great-grandfather's servants. And he brings the great all the servants of Saul that were now laboring into the Davidic kingdom. And he says, I want you to restore to Mephibosheth everything that belonged to his father and grandfather. And Mephibosheth, that's your inheritance. You see, this is what God's saying to you today. This is what God is saying to his people in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this confusion. He's saying, I'm calling you out of Lodabar, the place of no communion. I'm calling you to my table to sit as a son, as a daughter, to eat the food of heaven. I don't care if there's famine in the world. The kingdom of God is an unshakable kingdom. It is a stable kingdom in the time of instability. It's a word for somebody out there today. Now, I say this day as the day of resurrection, power, and life. So my prophets shall speak the word of faith, and you shall hear. And when you hear, you shall arise from the place of crippledness and come to my table and there be fed with the bread of heaven. You shall be gathered together with those of every tribe, culture, and tongue, and shall partake until your strength is restored. You see, you've been dwelling alone. You may have even been in a church but not felt connected to it. But God is about to bring you into a reality of sonship. He's bringing you around those who are truly a part of his kingdom. And that is a beautiful day. And you're going to be fed and you're going to be restored. Your crippledness is going to be healed and your fear is going to be eradicated. And you're going to come in and you're going to start ruling and reigning over the inheritance that God has for you, Mephibosheth, right? So we go on. Yes, even as Elijah was fed with sustaining food, so shall you eat and run and finish the race that has been set before you. I'm going to tell you a mystery again. When I got up this morning, I had a stack of these papers. I chose this one. I did not read it. I didn't know a few minutes ago when I was talking about Elijah that it was written in these notes. Here's the confirmation again. My God, is he good? So again, yes, even as Elijah was fed with sustaining food, so shall you eat and run and finish the race that has been set before you. You shall be strengthened as you eat, and your body shall live, your souls shall prosper, and your spirit soar into the highest heights of the heavenlies. Is that okay? Yeah, we see what's going on in the world, but that is not the kingdom reality. The kingdom reality, remember, when you were born again, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. You are a kingdom people, and it is time for you to stop living in the caves of obscurity in the land of Lodabar, and it's time for you to come into the kingdom, receive your inheritance and the benefit and the blessing to be restored and made whole and have energy and power to live out the life that God has called you to. That's this moment. Right now, but you got to rise in your spirit. You got to build up your faith. You got to sing in the spirit, pray in the spirit. You need to get in the word. You need to build up your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. Come on, that's what it says in Jude. Why will you wait? Why will you wait? For the time is now. The meal is prepared. Come to the table. And there receive your inheritance. Yes, you have obtained an inheritance through your faith and love for me. I am your God, I am your King. I am your Lord, saith the Lord. I am your all in all. As you eat of this third day portion, you shall arise and go to the place of transformation. There you shall be transformed and renewed. Yes, even in the twinkling of an eye, for in this place a quick work is being done. Yes, there you go from Lodabar to transformation, a place of no communion, no communication, to a place of transformation. Are you ready for it? Oh, I'm not just throwing out sloppy stuff. I'm not just giving you whimsical words. I'm telling you these are the words of God so that you never again have to be afraid of what's going on in this world. But you need to understand, it's time to get out of the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. It's time to come into the kingdom where a supernatural blessing is waiting for you. In this place, I love this. In this place, you shall go forth from the place of transformation to the place of equipping. So you're coming out of Lodabar into a place of transformation and restoration to now a place of equipping. In this place of equipping, you shall remove all past weapons and armaments and be equipped with third day power and might. Some of you may be asking, well, what are you talking about, third day power and might? It's not a game. Listen, this is third day power and anointing. It's not a game. It's not a toy. We're not manipulating the word of God. There's some very clear scripture that has enlightened many people around the world to the reality of what time it is in the economy of heaven. We are living in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and it's getting fuller and fuller with each passing moment. We are living in the prophetic third day. 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. 2,000 years ago, Christ was on this earth, or 2 days ago, we're entering into the third day, the third millennial day. 6,000 years has passed since Adam and Mrs. Adam were cast out of the garden. Time began. 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ, and from Christ to right now, another 2,000, that's 6,000 years. We're ready to begin the seventh millennium, and that's the 1,000-year millennial day. And it is on the third day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and it is in this prophetic third day that resurrection power will be granted to those who believe. But again, it's to whosoever will, okay? So we're going to go on. You shall go forth from this place of equipping with third day power and anointing, dressed in the golden armor. From this place of equipping, you shall come into the place of commissioning. So the new armor of the third day is the golden oil, the anointing, the golden armor of a warrior ready to stand. And now, after being equipped, comes your commissioning. Now you're going to be commissioned. There you shall bow before the creator of the universe and receive the anointing that breaks the yoke. You know how knights bow and the king puts the sword on both sides of his shoulder and then hands him a sword or a scroll? Okay, that's the commissioning. In this place, you shall receive the double portion of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Why not? Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do, and even greater works shall you do. When Elisha saw Elijah go up, what did he ask for? Elijah said, Elisha, what do you want? You've been following me all this time. What do you want? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me go up in the chariot of God, I'll get it to you. And what happens? The chariots of God come for Elijah. He's going up. Elisha's looking at him. His mantle, Elijah's mantle, falls on Elisha. He gets the double portion. Well, when we see in our spiritual vision Yeshua, Jesus, resurrected, his double portion is going to come upon your life. His mantle will come upon you, the mantle that he walked in on this earth. Greater works. That's double portion language. Listen, you got to see it with your spiritual eyes, though. Now, in this place you shall receive the double portion of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. The golden scepter shall be given to you with the authority and privilege to rule and reign in the midst of your enemies. What's the golden scepter? Esther chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. On the third day, Esther went in to the king, decked out with her clothes. You remember the story? She had just heard that there was a plan to wipe out all the Jews around the world. She fasted for 3 days. And it says on the third day, she went into the king's courts. She could have died for doing that, but she was wearing the clothes that the king had given her. Oh, there's a third day story that's amazing in this. And when the king saw her, the Bible says he extended to her his golden scepter and said, "What do you want, Queen Esther? Up to half the kingdom is yours if you want it." In other words, she found favor. And in this prophetic third day, a people that are clothed in the robes of righteousness, who have put on Christ, will confidently go in these disastrous times and stand before the king, and he will extend the golden scepter of his divine authority and say, "Up to half the kingdom is yours. What do you want?" The Bible says, "Make your request known unto God. Ask and you shall receive." That's our covenant. But you can't go in there with your old clothes of your old human race, your old nature, condemnation, guilt, shame, sinfulness. All that's got to be washed away. You got to put on the new man. You got to go in with confidence, and God is going to extend something glorious to you. Now, the golden scepter shall be given to you with the authority and privilege to rule and reign in the midst of your enemies. We have a lot of enemies, right? From the place of commissioning, you shall be sent to the nations of the earth to deliver and set free the creation from the bondage of corruption. You and I are called to liberty and freedom. We are the children of the kingdom. And please forgive me for shouting out. Man, that's just my heartbeat for this moment. It's my heartbeat. I love this message. This message to me is life. And God wants to commission you. He wants to take you out of Lodabar, lack of communion, living crippled in a cave of obscurity. He wants to bring you to the king's table. He wants you to be transformed and restored. And then he wants to take you and he wants to equip you with some new weapons of warfare. He wants to put some third day golden oil anointing in your life and resurrection power. He wants to come and knight you and commission you, and then he's going to send you. Now your life has purpose and meaning to it. Now your life is a worshiper. Now you're living not for yourself and what you could get out of this world, but now you're living on the king's business. You're becoming an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You shall cast out demons, you shall heal the sick, you shall raise the dead, and you shall proclaim the glorious gospel of peace with signs and wonders following. During this time of victory, you shall be refreshed with the oil of joy. How much more joy can there be from coming from Lodabar to being sent to the nations doing the works that Jesus did in a double portion fashion? When you see a sick person get healed, your joy is going to mount. When you see a demon get cast out of some person, your joy is going to mount. When you heal, the joy of the Lord, this oil is going to be poured into you, and you're going to have so much joy. And that joy is going to be a continual measure of strength to your life. Oh, you say, wait a second, what is this? This sounds too good to be true. This sounds supernatural. All I'm reading to you is what God's word says. It's Holy Spirit invasion into your mind and spirit right now. Isn't it good though? Isn't it refreshing? There's no lies. There's no BS going on here. It's God's word. We're not smoke and mirrors, tricks and schemes. We're not trying to fabricate. No. This is God's purpose and plan. This is what he says. You just have to be willing to step into the supernatural. Get out of the natural. The natural realm does nothing for anybody. All right, so let's go forward here just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I need to get my trusty lamp back on here. Oh, there it is. Okay. So now listen. You are as they who dream a dream, but I am awakening you now and calling you to run with speed to the places I have mentioned. You must move swiftly, for the time is now. What places? You have to go from Lodabar to the king's table. You need to eat, get transformed and restored. You need to go from restoration. Now you need to go to equipping. And from equipping, you need to go to commissioning. From commissioning, you need to go to sent. And God is saying here, this may sound like a dream, but I'm now going to wake you up, because this has to happen now. You talk about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You talk about a church that began in an upper room 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came like a freight train, like a rushing mighty wind. You talk about a people being baptized in the Holy Spirit that spoke in other tongues, that went out of that upper room and spoke in languages all over the world and began to move in the divine authority of the King. And that's just a first fruits. We need the harvest of this outpouring of the Spirit, and now is the time that the heavens are rich to release into the people of God. We know what's going on in the world. We understand that side of it. We need to understand this side. You must move swiftly, for the time is now. Others have already been to the table. Others have already been transformed. Others have been equipped. Others have been sent to the nations, and yet others have been anointed with joy. It is your time and your season. Let him, male or female, who has ears to hear, run. My table is filled with divine delicacies. Come and eat. There is no money needed. Freely you shall receive. Arise, my people, for the time has come. The armies of the kingdom of God have arrayed themselves for battle. You see, it really is your turn. It is your time. It is your moment. If one person gets a hold of what is being said today and will allow the Spirit to take them from glory to glory, the glory of coming out of Lodabar, the glory of being restored and transformed, the glory of being equipped, the glory of being commissioned, the glory of being sent, the glory of being empowered, the glory. We go from glory to glory. And yes, that glorification is an inward transformation of our character so that we become fully developed in the nature of Christ, right? Now, the armies of the kingdom of God have arrayed themselves for battle. Be strengthened, be strong, remove thou thy swords, strike at the enemy of unbelief and fear, strike through, saturate the atmosphere with the word of faith, speak into the air, speak through the airwaves, speak life, speak truth, speak to the seas, speak to the storms. Speak to the circumstances of the underlife. Speak to the mountains. Speak to the rock. Will you do it? Will you speak it? I am from above, says the Lord. I speak those things that are from above. If I have spoken unto you earthly things and you have not understood, how will I speak to you of heavenly things? My words are spirit and they are life. To all who hear them, be a doer of my word, beloved. Be doers. Yes, let the fullness of my presence flood you now. Would you allow it? Will you strike? Take your sword, unsheathe it. Go after fear. Go after doubt. Go after unbelief. Start praying in the spirit. That's a supernatural language that will unloose supernatural things. And God is giving you something right now if you will receive it. God is revealing to you right now what he wants to do in your life. Say yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So be it unto me. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me. I mean, God was telling her, the angel of God was telling her, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Now that was absolutely unbelievable. Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Yes, I say yes. Will you say yes with me? Let the fullness of my presence flood you now. Let my peace guard your hearts. Hallelujah. Let my spirit guide you and lead you into all the fullness of blessings that I have for you. Give place to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have prepared for you an abundant life. So you're in the hospital. You've been diagnosed with disease. You've been in fear. You're broken. You've been through a divorce. You're in trouble. You're in sin. You're locked up in addiction. Hear the word of the Lord today. Hear the word of the Lord today. It is time, Mephibosheth, to begin the journey back. God has an abundant life for you. The devil's got you all locked up. It's time to come out. I've prepared for you an abundant life, one full of glory and honor, a life that will bring praise and worship to the Father. Be through with mundane thoughts and ideas. Give up this negative, worldly, earthbound thinking. Don't be ignorant of what's going on, but let your thoughts rise to meet the day, the occasion. Come forth out of the darkness into the light. That's the call today. I have divided the light for you. I have separated the light from the darkness and have called you out of darkness into marvelous light. What are you waiting for? I say, arise and believe. Behold my power and ability to bring you to your destiny and purpose. Fret not at the perceived changes in plans. Only set your sight on the goal. Come to the table. All has been prepared. Prophecy that I wrote many years ago. God said, pull it out today. And again, you talk about direction and guidance and a call of the Spirit. I'm going to wait for your call today. I've already got a call coming in this morning. I've got to turn up the volume here, and I want to welcome our first call coming in. Remember the number to call, 818-369-0326. I can't believe we only have 3 minutes left. Let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I am calling to ask a question. When you were bringing out about this phase that we're in now, in America, and it's all over the world, of course, of this virus and so forth that we're going through, call it the plague or whatever. So then as we move on, as the Holy Ghost directs us in what he has prepared, like we're bringing out, which is wonderful, and gathering together those of our one mind and one accord, then in that book of Revelations and the first verse, could you explain this to me? And I stood upon, this is what it says in the Bible, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So then when you read that whole chapter, I noticed that it has to do with political things. It has to do with religious order, and all that is yet to come, correct?
Yeah, when you go back to Daniel chapter 7 and you look at Daniel's prophetic vision where he sees the four winds blowing on the great sea of humanity, and it stirs up political and social agitations. When you read that in the Amplified Bible, so Daniel sees the four winds blowing on the sea of humanity, and it's creating political and social agitations. And out of that sea of turmoil comes four beasts, one after another. In Revelation 13, again, in chapter 7, first of Revelation 7, there's four winds. By the time you get to chapter 13, those winds of political and social agitations are going on the sea of humanity. But this time comes one beast made up of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. They've all been consolidated like a caliphate would be when you have independence gathered together. So yes, we are living in that time of the beast empire. There's no doubt this beast is ready to roar. Absolutely.
So my other question then. So as all the nations give up their sovereignty, it could come under what we are seeing now in our time. Call it maybe the United Nations, perhaps?
Absolutely. I think the United Nations is probably the central figure of what's going on in our world today. Absolutely. I agree.
Thank you.
All right. Great questions. Appreciate that from South Dakota. And I'll bring in area code 479-855. I know we're running over time, but I want to get this call. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. I look at this as birth pains. A birth pain started in 9/11, and the birth pains keep, and then the birth keep coming, and they get a little bit longer and get a little bit harder. And in those times of the birth pains, we, as the Lord is doing for us, is putting us or making us more in the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance towards it. And his bride will be spotless when the big birth pain, and then we'll be in joy and peace when that birth takes place.
I love it. That is so well said. Yes, these are the birthing of the man-child and the birthing of the Antichrist. There is a combination of events taking place simultaneously. Light and darkness are both rising at the same time. What side of the day will you be on is the question, ladies and gentlemen, to each one of us. What side of the day will you be on? Listen, it's time for me to go right now on omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion that will help you deal with spots, wrinkles, and blemishes, because it's all about spiritual warfare, getting you ready. Omegaradio.org. We're going to say goodbye to our friends on YouTube and Facebook. Thanks for your gracious comments out there. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow with Daniel Seckham all the way from Australia. Until then, shalom and God bless.